Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So President Obama met with Mexican President Felipe Calderon and Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper on Monday about removing barriers to trade. But the Rose Garden News Conference got sidetracked by a different kind of trade battle, the war on drugs, specifically the war on the Mexican drug cartels waged by President Calderon with U.S. support, but with a mounting death toll in Mexico and with ramifications for the United States, as many of you know, something President Obama acknowledged.
When you have innocent families and women and children who are being gunned down on the streets, that should be everybody's problem, not just our problem. Not just their problem.
President talking about Mexico. The Transborder Institute at the University of San Diego has been tracking the drug violence and just issued its third annual report on the situation. Two of the report's lead authors, David Shirk and Viridiana Rios from the TBI, join me now to talk about the extent of the violence, how it's changing, and what effect, if any, the presidential campaigns going on both sides of the border now might have on the overall strategy. Welcome back to the show, David Shirk and Viridiana Rios.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
The statistics, for people who don't know, continue to be pretty grim. Since President Calderon took office in December 2006, there have been close to 50,000 organized crime killings, with almost 13,000 in the first three quarters of 2011 alone. Vidi, how does that compare to the U.S. and the rest of Latin America?
Well, actually, Mexico, if you compare it with Latin America, is not really a very violent country. The most violent country in the region is El Salvador, followed by Honduras. We have very high numbers for Brazil and Colombia. Many people don't know, but actually homicide rates in Colombia are much higher than in Mexico. So actually, in general terms, what happens in Mexico is that violence is very concentrated in some places, but in general, the country is not very violent.
David Shirk, President Calderon sees a link between the end of the U.S. assault weapons ban in 2004, when that expired, and a spike in deaths in Mexico. Is that what your study shows? Can we actually draw a cause and effect link there?
Well, you know, we didn't see a similar spike in the United States, where those assault weapons would be very prevalent and available. That said, I do think that the primary source and primary the best place to get very powerful, high-impact weapons is the United States. Mexico's right next door, and so drug traffickers come here to obtain those kinds of weapons. Gun advocates in the United States say, well, if they couldn't come here, they'd go somewhere else. That's true, but what we have now is a situation where U.S. guns are being pointed at Mexican authorities and at U.S. authorities who are trying to help them, and I think that is a problem.
And what about the U.S. government operation that went awry, nicknamed Fast and Furious? The U.S. wanted to track weapons bound for Mexico, but lost track of them, and at least one was used in the murder of a Border Patrol agent.
Yeah, that's a very high-profile case. Now, arguably, trying to follow weapons or any kind of illicit commerce or material is part of the process of criminal investigations. You have to do that to gather evidence. In this case, I think the problem is partly that they lost the track of the weapons, but also the fact that the Justice Department does not seem to have been as forthcoming as it could in reporting back to Congress on exactly what happened.
And Vidi, how would you assess the success of the war on the drug cartel so far? We've been talking about this for years, obviously on this show and in much of the U.S. media and obviously in Mexico. So the crackdown is not new. Has it been at all successful?
It doesn't seem that it has been successful. Actually, homicide rates seem to at least be the same than in 2010 and in 2011. So basically what we are seeing is an escalating violence, and that is obviously a reaction of the forces and of the use of law enforcement against drug trafficking organizations. We have some we have some information that the price of cocaine has diminished in the U.S. However, when we actually consider the cost of all this war, I mean, we are talking about 50,000 homicides in just 5 years, a little bit less than that. I'm not sure whether this is a cost that we want to pay only for diminishing the price of cocaine a little bit.
The maps in your study show the violence moving south away from the border. Does that make this less urgent for the U.S.?
I don't think so, because even if violence is moving south, violence in the border is still very, very high. Most of the violence actually still happens in the border, particularly in Ciudad Juarez and in border cities like Laredo and Tijuana. The reason why violence has moved south is because it has moved to a state that is called Veracruz. Veracruz is a state that used to be controlled by the Sinaloa cartel, and now Zetas, another cartel, is trying to take over the territory. So basically what we are seeing is a huge instability in a country that is just the south neighbor of the U.S. I think this is a matter of concern.
So, David, how do you convince most Americans of that? This may feel urgent for people living very close to the border and in a few areas, but much more remote here in the New York area or in most places in the United States.
Well, first of all, I think just talking about this issue with Americans and letting them know about the toll of the war on drugs, a war that essentially we are exporting just beyond our borders, is part of it. So I appreciate you bringing up the topic, Brian, on your show. I think we also need to personalize what 50,000 deaths looks like. One of the things that Vera and I have been doing lately is trying to track and put names and faces on those individuals so that we can get a better picture of what the violence is. It's easy to say, oh, there are 90% of them are criminals, but then you start finding the 13-year-old girls, the 2-year-olds, and you see that there's a lot of innocent people behind those numbers.
And so what do you think, David, that the United States government could be doing or should be doing? Obviously, this came up as a topic at the news conference, and in a way, the news conference that was between the heads of state of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada the other day that was supposed to be on trade issues sort of got derailed onto a lot of questions about the drug wars. What do you think the U.S. could be doing that it's not doing?
We are not having a serious conversation at the federal level about alternative means of managing drug consumption. We are not seriously investing in the reduction of consumption. 50% of the U.S. population believes we should legalize drugs, and it's starting to happen at the state and local level in a very haphazard way. But there's no long-term federal vision for what we, or international vision for what a decriminalized or preferably a regulated regime for legal drug use would look like. And we have to, I think, have that conversation because it's already the way that we're trending. Many people believe that we should legalize at least the consumption of marijuana, but we're not really thinking about what the consequences are, and I think we have to start doing that.
Coming up in a few minutes, listeners, the story of English in 100 words. Linguist David Crystal will talk about 100 most important words in the English language today, as well as some of the history of how we got to those 100 words. We finish up for the next few minutes with our guests on the drug war across the southern border of the United States with Mexico. My guests are from the Transborder Institute at the University of San Diego, Viridiana Rios and David Shirk. Viridiana, more reporters, journalists, and government officials in Mexico are being killed now. Is there a specific strategy behind those targets?
This is extremely concerning for Mexico. Mexico right now is ranking at least second in the number of killings of journalists in the world. This is particularly important in regions where drug trafficking is operating. I don't think the Mexican government has actually done enough in order to prosecute those who have killed journalists. We have many of the cases still open. Many of the cases are being investigated. However, we don't really have a sense of where are all these homicides.
Vera Calderon, President Calderon, is term limited out this year. Is this a big issue in the presidential campaign, the drug wars?
Yes, it is indeed. I would say it's probably the most important issue right now in the Mexican election. There has been a lot of discussion, actually, about what would be exactly the change in the strategy in case another party arrived into power. However, definitely this is by far the most important issue that the country is right now facing.
Can Mexico teach us something about how not to have endless presidential campaigns?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
And David Shirk, the main purpose of the summit between the three leaders was to boost trade. A lot of Americans think NAFTA sent jobs to Mexico already. What trade barriers were they hoping to eliminate?
Well, I think that one of the huge challenges for North America right now is infrastructure, trying to have an effective infrastructure, including our ports of entry. And one of the things I think that is a major barrier to trade, particularly here in the San Diego-Tijuana region, is the fact that our securitization or militarization of border security has led to severe reductions in flexibility of the movement of legal trade and legal commerce at the border. We have not figured out how to both keep drugs out and let all the other things that we buy, the $300 billion worth of goods that cross the U.S.-Mexico border in an efficient way. So there are still challenges for North America, and until we figure out the security issue and make North America safer for legal commerce, we won't be as prosperous or as vibrant an economic region as we could be.
And if there had been an open mic in the right place at this news conference on Monday, David, do you think they would have picked up the president quietly whispering to Calderon that he'd have more flexibility after the election to do something about gun laws?
No, I think what we would hear is him whispering that we might have more flexibility about immigration. I mean, that's the other big issue on the table between the United States and Mexico, gun laws. I don't see the president gaining any wiggle room after the election. He may. Certainly, it's one of the things that he and Eric Holder talked about coming into office. But it's we have an incredibly strong gun lobby in the United States. One in four households in America has guns in it. There are something like 250 million guns in America. So there's almost one for everybody, but that means that there's a high concentration in a small number of households that have a huge impact on U.S. policy on guns. And that's a debate that I don't expect to see resolved in the next 4 years or maybe even the next 10.
David Shirk and Viridiana Rios from the Transborder Institute at the University of San Diego. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, English in 100 words.